This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafi al-anbiya wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran kathira. My brothers and sisters, the topic of my khutbah today is when the rubber meets the road. The Quran al-Kareem commands us to have sabr and promises help to those who have sabr, who have patience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us how to face difficulty. And he said, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُولِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, remember me and I will remember you. And thank me and never be ungrateful. O believers, seek help, isti'ana, seek help and seek comfort in patience and in prayer, in sabr wa salah. Truly, Allah is with those who have sabr, who have patience. My brothers, sisters, elders, I remind myself and you that the concept of sabr or patience in Islam is very interesting and very different from what many people think it is. Sabr doesn't mean to simply pray and do nothing, or to simply sit and wait for things to happen, and simply expect help to come from outside, including divine intervention. Sabr means to do our best and to use every means at our disposal to exert our full effort and strength, and then to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek His help to enable our efforts to succeed. That is tawakkul. I call tawakkul the tawheed of the heart. This is what ensures that we remain on tawheed, the tawheed of the heart. To illustrate with an example, it's like wiring up a new house, making sure that you did everything correctly, following all protocols and safety procedures, and then connecting it to the transformer and turning on the switch. It is a combination of two things: wiring up correctly and then connecting, and then only connecting to the power source. It's also about the sequence, the wiring before the connection. And that is why sabr, maximum effort, comes before salah. And salah is essential after making the effort, so that you don't fall into the trap of the so-called self-made man, living an imaginary world where you think that your success is your own and that you don't owe anything to anyone. That is arrogance, and arrogance leads only to Jahannam. If you don't wire up the house, the power source cannot illuminate it. But even if you wire up the house without the power source, it will remain in darkness. And that is the importance of tawakkul. I remind myself and you that we owe our success to all those around us, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put there for our benefit and inspired them with love and respect for us to take the time and trouble to invest their own time and energy and effort and experience and knowledge for us to succeed. Islam tells us that we need to acknowledge this and thank them and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An excellent book to read in this context is called Outliers, and it's by the statistician Malcolm Gladwell, who shows statistically how we owe our success to our circumstances far more than we may like to think. It's a very interesting book, and I strongly recommend you read it, Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell. My brothers and sisters, gratitude saves us from arrogance. And Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال لا يشكر الله من لا يشكر الناس. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever does not thank people has not thanked Allah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us thankful. Allahumma ja'alna min ash-shakirin. People ask, why does the help of Allah not come? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, and Allah gives at the right time. We ask, and Allah gives at the right time. When we look at the wisdom and timing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help, we see His hand in it. The help comes through material means, or may come through material means, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends it in a way where it becomes clear that it was not material means but the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which was working. I remind myself and you that let us see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about the story of Musa alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have saved him in multiple ways, but instead He, Jalla Jalaluhu, commanded Musa alayhi salam's mother to throw him in the Nile when she feared for his safety. Imagine what kind of safety measure is that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِهِ فَإِذَا خِفْتِي عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي إِنَّا رَادُّوهُ إِلَيْكِ وَجَعِلُهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we inspired when we sent wahi to the mother of Musa alayhi salam and said, nurse him, but when you fear for him, put him then into the river. And do not fear and do not grieve. We will certainly return him to you and make him one of the messengers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about this whole journey where instead of hiding him or his identity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused him to be directed into the palace of Fir'aun. And not only literally be in the hands of Fir'aun, but be recognized as that child of Bani Israel who it was predicted would destroy the Pharaonic empire of Egypt. The Pharaoh's astrologers identified that baby and advised him to kill the child. The Pharaoh obviously had no compunctions about killing a child, since it was by his command that thousands of newborn boys of the Bani Israel had already been killed just to ensure that this one child did not survive. Now they had that very child in their hands. All that remained was one simple action and the job would be done, and Musa alayhi salam's story would have ended before it began. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show that all worldly power and wealth mean nothing, and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will prevails. The astrologers advised Fir'aun to kill the child, but the wife of the Pharaoh advised him to spare the life of the child and instead to raise him as their son, as they were childless. Ramesses II, that was the Pharaoh. Ramesses II listened to his wife, and the rest is history. Ramesses II became the foster father and protector of Musa alayhi salam, and paid for him to be nursed by his own mother. Naturally, that meant a total transformation of the family of Musa alayhi salam financially and socially, because now they were the people nursing and taking care of the son of the king, the son of the Pharaoh of Egypt. Once Musa alayhi salam was old enough, he was taken back to the palace and was raised as an Egyptian prince with access to the highest and most valuable resources of the time, learning from the best scholars and warriors destined to be a ruler after his foster father. After all, Egypt was the most ancient and powerful empire of the time on earth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had something better in store for Musa alayhi salam. So instead of becoming yet another ruler of an ancient dynasty, he became one who would write history and be remembered and honored for all time as one of the five great messengers who are called Ulul Azam min ar-Rusul. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plans, whatever he plans, he does. As a result, Musa alayhi salam suddenly lost it all, and he had to flee for his life. And he spent 10 years grazing sheep as a ward of Shuaib alayhi salam. He lived in the house of a prophet, being mentored by him for 10 years. I want you to put yourself in his position so that you realize the difference between storytelling and story living. The storyteller knows the ending, but the one living the story doesn't. Storytellers, therefore, don't feel the fear and the sadness and the despair and the hope that those living the story do. As Rasulullah said, لَيْسَ الْخَبَرُ كَالْمُعَيْنَةِ The report is not the same as the inspection or visibility. Alhamdulillah. The report is not the same as the inspection or the experience. My brothers and sisters, we are all living our own stories. We all have our hopes and aspirations, fears and apprehensions. None of us know the ending of our stories. None of us knows the ending of his or her story. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us stories of his messengers, so that we can take courage from knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control. And just as Musa alayhi salam accepted and took comfort from this, so should we. The only condition is that we must demonstrate our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by obeying him. That is what gave Musa alayhi salam the courage to return to the court of Ramesses II, from where he had fled as a fugitive with a price on his head. He didn't do that surreptitiously, but openly as the messenger of Allah. I remind myself and you that we have the stories of the exceptional help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming, but ask, who does it come to? It comes to those who are obedient to him, because there is no one more obedient to Allah than the Nabi of Allah. This help did not come to the Fasiq and Fajr. It didn't come to the people who were disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It came to those who were not just obedient to Allah, but obedient to Allah to a level of excellence. The whole story of Musa alayhi salam is so powerful and salutary that we must study it carefully and apply the lessons in our lives. Picture this. Musa alayhi salam and his little family are returning to Egypt from Madian, which today is called Magha'ir al-Shu'aib. It's a historical site that lies 140 miles northwest of Tabuk city in Al-Bida'a governorate in Saudi Arabia. From here, Musa alayhi salam is headed to Pi Ramesses, the capital of ancient Egypt, which is about 60 miles northeast of Cairo, of Al-Qahira. Today it's a village called Qantir in the Sharqiyah province of the eastern Nile Delta in Egypt. That is a walk of about 450 miles through the desert. They get lost in the night, and he sees the light of a fire burning in the distance. He says to his family, Izra'a naran faqala li ahlihim kuthu inni anastu nara la'alli atikum minha bi qabasin aw ajidu 'ala an-nari huda. When he saw a fire, he said to his family, wait here, I have spotted a fire, Perhaps I can bring you a torch from it or find some other guidance at the fire. In the words, the wonderful words of the great poet Mustar Hyderabadi, he said, Khuda ki den ka Musa se poochiye ahwal, Khuda ki den ka Musa se poochiye ahwal, ke aag lane ko jayen, ke aag lene ko jayen, payambari mil jaye, ke aag lene ko jayen, payambari mil jaye. He said, ask Musa alayhi salam about the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he went to get fire and he got prophethood instead. The key to all of this is consistency and steadfastness, the willingness to continue despite the hardship, to stay on track even when it is tough and you don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. That is the test of faith. Iman bil ghaib, faith in the unperceivable. We have it because we believe Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said it, so we believe it because we believe him. This is what made Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu as-siddiq. He believed Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and acted on that belief. Now, brothers and sisters and elders, I remind myself anew that action puts soul into words and gives them life. And only action gets results. Inna alladhina qalu rabbuna allahu thumma istaqamu fala khawfun alayhim wala hum yahzanun ulaika ashabul jannati khalidina fiha jazaa'an bima kanu ya'malun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about istiqamat, about steadfastness, surely those who say our Rabb is Allah and then remain steadfast, there will be no fear for them nor will they grieve. It is they who will be the residents of Jannah, staying there forever as a reward for what they used to do. To believe and remain firm on that belief and demonstrate that by our action, even when it may not be popular, that is what is required. As someone said, if Islam were illegal, would they find enough evidence of it in your life to convict you? Think about this. If Islam were illegal, would those who are searching for Muslims, would they find enough evidence in your life to convict you? Meaning, would you look like a Muslim? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to us about the ending for all such people. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those for whom He promised these beautiful things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna alladhina qalu rabbuna allahu thumma istaqamu tatanazzalu alayhimul malaika alla takhafu wa la tahzanu wa abshiru bil jannati allati kuntum tu'adun نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون نزلا من غفور رحيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means surely those who say our Allah is Rabb, our Rabb is Allah. قالوا ربنا الله. Allah said, surely those who say our Rabb is Allah and then remain steadfast. That is the key. The key is not to have a flash in the pan. The key is not simply to say Allah is my Rabb and then do the opposite and disobey Allah. No. Stay firm and steadfast on that. Surely those who say our Rabb is Allah and then remain steadfast, the angels, the malaika, descend on them saying, do not fear, do not grieve. Rather, rejoice in the good news of Jannah. The good news of Jannah will be given to us right when we are dying. Rejoice in the good news of Jannah, which you have been promised. We are your supporters in this worldly life and in the hereafter. There you will have whatever your souls desire, and there you will have whatever you ask for. A welcome from the all-forgiving, most merciful Allah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to give this to us and to make our ending like this, where we will be with Allah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.